How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible.
Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, ma. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day, especially when the season get hectic. I stay waiting on it like receiving a Nets pick. Nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth, you might even hear a story on Gigi. So in depth, they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth, you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, John Corrales and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. So you can miss me with the blah blah. No more Geno time, we watching Jay do the Zaza. Melis.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics Podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for making this part of your regular routine, even in August, the beginning of the dark months of the NBA offseason. But we are here for you, the Reigning Jays, John Corrales, and Sam Jam Packard stepping in for a vacationing Jay King, who's out getting crunk, as he likes to put it. And those were his words. He said, yeah, he said, because we were going to podcast, and then he said, no, Sam's going to step in so I can get crunk tonight. And then, cool thing, he got an Uber driver home who recognized his voice from the podcast, which was super awesome. So we're out there, baby. People know who we are just from Jay's old man voice. So I loved that somebody tweeted and said, Jay's got the old man voice. It's hilarious. So me, John, you, Sam, we're here to talk about rings with multiple Z's at the end, because today Michael Jordan came out, the word came out from his camp or whatever. He was asked to put to rank LeBron and Kobe, and he said he's going to put Kobe over LeBron. He said, would I rank LeBron over Kobe in terms of best of all time? No, there's something about five that beats three. Kobe won five championships. LeBron won three, although he's been to seven finals or something like that. So that is a very interesting comment from Michael Jordan, who's got six rings. And it opens himself up to a lot of criticism, because I know somebody, a certain guy from a certain team, that has 11 championship rings, which makes him almost twice as good as Michael Jordan, according to Michael Jordan's logic, Sam.
It's such a bad take. It's just, I feel like we're going to agree on this one. Just rings are the an evaluation or a measurement of team success. And so if you're going to talk about individual players and what they can do, using rings as the metric just doesn't make any sense to someone winning a championship. Mostly having to do with your team dynamics and how good the people around you are, but also like within a given game, if the series goes seven, there's like different bounces or like shots going in and out. Like LeBron only has three rings, but he could have two if Ray Allen misses that shot in the corner against the Spurs. There's so many like small things that go into it that just entirely basing it off of this one metric is stupid. LeBron is clearly a better player than Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant was a great offensive scorer. He had the Mamba mentality, whatever his muse cage is, whatever that means. He embraced it, and he was very good at scoring. He was an elite scorer. He's probably the best scorer we've seen since Michael Jordan. But in terms of an all-around basketball player, LeBron is unrivaled. There's just amazing, like, he does everything great. And the thing I'm most impressed by is his passing ability. And that's just not something we saw from Kobe Bryant, because he didn't like to pass the ball. It's a dumb argument. Michael Jordan is stupid. Kobe Bryant is stupid. There's a reason the Jordan face stuck around for so long. It's because people knew he had bad takes.
Yeah, look, I hate ranking all-time greats. Kobe is an all-time great. LeBron is an all-time great. So is Michael.
So is Bill Russell, who I was obviously talking about before. And yes, we agree about this, but I hate ranking these guys because the argument becomes this little minutia bullshit. And people will hold things from early in LeBron's career against him. Yeah, the Dallas series, he sucked. He choked. He wasn't there mentally. You can say whatever he wanted. He also led the Cavaliers to a finals against the Spurs in his rookie contract. Who leads a team to a finals in a rookie contract nowadays? And he was the guy who led that team. He is one of the best. And you could take rings away from Kobe just as easily. If Kendrick Perkins doesn't blow out his knee in that finals, the Celtics were 6 minutes away from winning in 2010. And if Kendrick was there, they probably would have won. And maybe they wouldn't have. It's hard to say. We can argue back and forth, but it's very easy to look at that team and say, if Perkins didn't blow out his knee, Celtics could have won in that series. And there are other opportunities to say that the Portland series that against with the Lakers, there was that one kind of crazy, I don't know, people will talk about conspiracies and whatnot, but if the Blazers had been able to kind of stem a tide, then things would have changed. And obviously they didn't, but you can easily say a couple of bounces here and there, and Kobe doesn't have five rings. He's got two or three, and LeBron's got five or six. You know, just different things happen that may be out of the player's control that just change the whole thing. So when we sit there and say count the rings, if rings are the only metric, then Karl Malone's terrible, Charles Barkley's terrible, and Robert Horry is better than all of them. It's a stupid way in a team sport to measure a player's greatness. You have to have a bigger frame of reference. And I'll say that this intense focus on the rings that people will throw at me and you and at others on Twitter is the exact same motivation for guys like Kevin Durant to say, you know what, I'm going to go to Golden State. So you can't shit on Kevin Durant for going to Golden State and trying to solidify a legacy and get multiple rings there and then turn around and say rings are the measure of a player's greatness. Because Kevin Durant could have stayed in Oklahoma City. He could have tried to make it work with Russell Westbrook. Could have tried to make it work under an ownership that wasn't going to pay luxury taxes, that was going to not give them the type of team that they needed. It just, if you're going to measure the rings only, then you got to say, well, look, Kevin Durant's going to go do what he's going to do, because I'm only saying championships matter. And if Durant's going to go be one of the all-time greats and vault himself into this discussion so it's not just Kobe, LeBron, and Michael, it's Kobe, LeBron, Michael, and Durant, then Durant's got to go get some rings. And if the Oklahoma City Thunder are not going to do what it takes to get him the rings, then he's going to take it upon himself. But people don't like to hear that shit. People want to say, you got to get rings, but you got to get them a certain way. You got to sit there and get them organically, and you got to get them through the draft. You got to get them this way or that way. You can't go join a super team because that somehow sullies it, but you're still going to count rings. It's disingenuous. It's bullshit.
Yeah, it's like basically the whole comparison of generations in basketball. I know Bill Simmons tried to write a whole book doing that, but it was, and I read the book and I love that book and it was entertaining as hell. But the more you think about it, just like comparing different generations doesn't make any goddamn sense. Like, it's completely different context. And of course, in the basketball Twitter world, we can live in like where everyone was very quick to diminish Kevin Durant's championship because of the context of the situation. But then they're also the Kobe stands of the world. And it's just, I agree, if you go on rings, then Bill Russell's the best basketball player of all time. And I'm sorry, Celtics fans, but that's just not true. Like, have you seen the people Bill Russell was playing against? Bob Cousy could only dribble with one arm. Like, and Bill Russell was like the first athletic guy who was like over 6'9". Of course he's going to dominate. And I know there's other players like Wilt. I know he had his battles against Wilt, but it's just like, the game of basketball is so different than to even like say Bill Russell's the best of all time, it just doesn't make any goddamn sense to me. He dominated in his own era, and like, you can't fault him because he did exactly what he should have done. But just compare, like, the different era comparisons, just, it's impossible to do because there's so much that matters within the particular season, like you mentioned. And I don't know, it's just, it's frustrating to do because you can never really find like a consensus for what's, who is the best. To me, watching basketball for the, like, very intensely for the past 15 years of my life, I've never seen anyone better than LeBron James. I was a little too young for MJ. Like, MJ retired the first time when I was 8 years old. So to me, LeBron's the best I've seen play basketball ever.
Man, the youth with which I co-host on this podcast is just frightening to me. But I am more envious than anything. I will say this, and I know that there are a lot of people listening. You don't like LeBron, and that's fine. You don't have to like LeBron. I'm not trying to get you to like LeBron. But as I tweeted tonight or last night, whenever you're listening, don't let the hatred lead you down a road of stupidity. Like, don't let irrational hatred of LeBron James, which is fine. There's plenty to hate about LeBron James. I totally get it. But don't let that cloud your judgment to what he's done and how great he has been on the court. You can think he's a total asshole. You can think he's a jerk. You can think he's the worst person in the world. Fine, whatever. I'm not going to stop you from doing that. But just understand exactly what he is as a player. He is still, to this day, one of the best passers in the NBA, including everybody, including all point guards. LeBron is easily a top five passer in the NBA. He has improved his shot dramatically, where he is a threat from three. He could put the ball on the floor at his size. Obviously, he's faster than a guy his size should be. He's just a freakish player. He is Gronk plus Jordan, you know, like a big, strong guy that can do a lot of things, can defend, and it just, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. So I would rather have, if I'm starting a team all time, I would rather have a guy like that who can do all sorts of things that you can play at the, shit, you could play him at the five. You could play him at the one. He's a guy that literally can play any position and guard any position. It just, that's just the fact. It's just the fact. And because he didn't win as many rings as Kobe, that doesn't take into account any of the things. It doesn't take into account his coaches. I mean, I don't like Phil Jackson, and I think there are other coaches ahead of Phil Jackson in the all-time pantheon, but he's still one of the all-time great coaches. You think having Phil Jackson versus Mike Brown might have something to do with winning some of those titles? Maybe. You think having Shaq in his prime might have something to do with winning a couple of those titles? Maybe. You know, LeBron hasn't had that necessarily. I mean, he had a pretty good team in Miami, obviously. He had great players there, but Kobe had Shaq, arguably a top three center of all time. So we need to, like, just relax about the count the rings argument, because there are extenuating circumstances all up and down the NBA that will make certain guys who are all-time legends not win a title, and certain guys who are not all-time legends but who are really good win multiple titles. So somewhere along the way, somewhere in that mix, LeBron and Kobe and Jordan and those guys, they're all in the same team picture. They're all really, really great players of all time. So we need to just get past the rings argument, because the more emphasis we put on rings, the more emphasis players who are human beings and sometimes sensitive will put on chasing those rings and finding situations where they can get those rings. And where that whole super team thing, it's all connected. So don't be surprised when guys say, I want to go play with better players. I want to go play with these superstars. I'm going to go chase a ring. I'm going to switch teams. Because the fans, all they care about is counting how many banners you've raised, how many rings you got on your fingers. So, that's that.
That was a good. I just wanted to say, for all the Celtics fans out there who have been upset by hearing us praise LeBron James, We just have to remember that he is a bit of a diva and a hard guy to play with, and he has driven away his best teammate this year, and Kyrie Irving is demanding a trade, and the Cavs are going to totally implode this season because they're not going to trade him, and it's going to be a media circus. So I just thought I'd bring that up because as much as we should credit we just gave LeBron, for some reason the second best player on his team no longer wants to compete for championships with him and wants to leave town, and they are going to be so much worse next season, and I'm looking forward to rooting against them and rooting against the Lakers. It's going to be a banner year for hatred in the Celtics fanhood.
That's fair. That's fair. And like I said before, you don't have to like LeBron, and there's plenty to dislike about LeBron. His playing ability is not one of those things, though. But yeah, that's an entirely different thing. Kyrie is a weird dude anyway. So there's that going on there as well. I like to just have fun with all of this. Did you see my favorite thing that I've seen on Twitter this week is Danny Ainge's response to Isaiah Thomas's his Instagram story where he put the slides out that the Brinks truck slides, and Danny Ainge was out like how expensive are those slides with the Brinks truck? Just having fun. Like, I love the fact that Danny Ainge could have fun with negotiations and a player saying he wants the Brinks truck, because Danny Ainge was a player. He gets it. He knows exactly what that's like from the other side. So that was really funny. I think that understanding and that level of joking kind of cuts through the tension of the demands of a max contract, and maybe those guys can talk a little bit more freely than maybe some other situations.
You know, another reason why he feels comfortable joking is he knows that he's not going to have to bring that Brinks truck to Isaiah Thomas. I think the point guard market and the number of teams that have cap, that he's probably going to get a Kyle Lowry deal and not the full max. So Danny Ainge just feels free to joke because he knows that he's not bringing that Brinks truck. And for people who are curious, those slides cost $50. You can buy them online, and some proceeds go to Isaiah Thomas's youth mentoring program. So I don't know if everyone can pull off the Brinks truck, because no one else is going to get that amount of money, but they have some sweet King of the Fourth on ones on theirs too. Isaiah Thomas, apparently NBA players are really into like customized slide games, because ET always had some cool, like Evan Turner always had some amazing slides. I don't know. I'm not a big slides guy, but if you want to do it, they're online.
I do like slides myself, and I never used to call them slides. That's a new thing, but I call them like flip-flops or sandals or something, but I've got like three or four that I wear religiously. And I think it's big with athletes and especially basketball players, because basketball players, you spend all day in those sneakers, starting, stopping, hard stops, hard starts, and you jamming your feet and the toes of those things. I know from experience, your feet take a beating in basketball shoes. Playing basketball, your feet just get destroyed. So one of the first things that you want to do after a game is get those damn things off of your feet and just slip into something. So I think the slides are immensely popular with NBA players, especially beyond the shower shoe, beyond all that stuff. Just a comfortable thing that your feet can breathe in, because you spend so many times, and a lot of time I played with two pairs of socks on. It just felt more comfortable. And then you've got like your ankles taped, and then you're wearing like four layers by the time you put your shoes on. So the slides are incredibly popular. I love them. I would wear them all day long, personally. It's my thing.
Hi, you've reached the High Fashion Hotline.
Hi, my family's going to a tailgate, and I want our style to stand out from the crowd.
Just go to Old Navy.
Old Navy?
Yep, Old Navy's got all the latest fall styles. Plus, during Old Navy's colossal sale, you'll save up to 50% off store-wide.
Did you say up to 50% off?
I did, so don't sit on the sidelines. Old Navy has the perfect pants from $19, stylish dresses from $15, and comfy tees for the family from just $6 right now at Old Navy and OldNavy.com.
We're cheering for Old Navy.
High Fashion, Old Navy. Valid 10-2 to 10-10. Select styles only.
We put out a tweet. Sam put out a tweet. There's a junk drawer afoot.
Yeah, it's the summertime, and
summer junk drawer.
there's not much basketball going on, so I figured we'd talk about some junk. First, I'm going to give stuff in my own personal junk drawer. I just moved to Boston from Philadelphia, as the loyal fans may know, and I just moved back to Boston. So I have a lot of observations of my time living in Boston. So those are also in the junk drawer. But I just got to quickly shout out. There's a random video I saw on Celtics Reddit today of Gershon and Jaylen Brown just like playing with a soccer ball in their Jaylen's driveway. Not really much goes on. They both kind of like play goalie on the garage. It's not that entertaining, but it's fun enough to watch. It's just Gershon's a thick dude, and he's French. So I think it was an entertaining 4 minutes in my book, so I highly recommend it.
Yeah, that was great. Like, competing push-ups is it's a fun little thing to watch between those two guys.
All right. Mike Gorman, he apparently rapped on Toucher and Rich's 98 Mile today, but I went to the Sports Hub's website trying to listen to it, and it was just all Mets stuff. So I was prepared to have a Mike Gorman rapping take, but really I'm just kind of shitting on the Sports Hub website and inability to find audio. It's something when I used to work at EEI, I don't know if it's the website infrastructure or just like the user interface. It's just shitty, and I don't know how to make it better because I was in that position as the guy who had to upload audio, and it was always terrible. So boo Sports Hub for being a generally place for hot takes and crap, but also just not being able to find the good audio that you want.
I heard Gorman rapping, and I will say for Mike Gorman, it was really good. Now, I'm not going to pretend that it was really good in general, but for Mike Gorman, I was shocked at how good it was. He did a good job.
That's good. That's good to hear. I expect great things from Mike Gorman. He feels like he's the type of guy who would excel in everything he does.
He's one of my favorite people. And every piece of video that you want exists on Twitter somewhere.
Well, that's perfect. Next in the junk drawer, Markelle Fultz and Lonzo Ball are ranked 80 in NBA
Bullshit.
2K, which is so dumb. It's been a while since I played 2K, so I don't know if everyone's inflated, but when I used to play 2K, like Marcus Smart and players like Marcus Smart and Jay Crowder would like top out at an 80. I'm pretty sure I saw LeBron when he started was a 73 or something incredibly low when he was a rookie. To give those guys who haven't proven anything 80s in 2K is outrageous. It's salacious, and I won't stand for it.
It's absolutely insane. And In the world of gaming, I would not stand for that. They haven't played a second of NBA basketball. All we've got is Summer League triple-doubles. Great. Lonzo had more Summer League triple-doubles than anybody ever. Fantastic. Good for you. 80 in 2K? Nah. I expect that to drop down to like a 65 before January.
I would hope so. Or just to... I don't know. I feel like I need to get – this inspired me to get back into 2K because there's a point in time when when I played 2K, I just used to do fantasy drafts all the time and just like sim multiple seasons at a time. I did like Ultimate GM Builder, and I used to know the ratings of like every single player because I would just do probably like 4 fantasy drafts a day. That was like my deep, deep 2K mode. Those are some dark days. But actually, they were great times, and I don't know why I said they were dark days. Probably because I regret spending that much time playing video games. But you know what? I was having a blast.
Yeah, I never got into that. I always loved like doing creative player stuff. That was my favorite.
Yeah, they get like the new cool solo version, which
yeah,
I feel like I get back to.
Yeah, you go out there, you create yourself, but you got to earn your keep. You don't just, you know, there once upon a time you could go out there and just jack everything up to 99. You could average 80 points a game, but that's no fun. You go out there and create yourself and get yourself. Especially if you can get yourself to the Celtics. Like, that was my favorite, what I did 1 year. Like, you come on up and you get drafted and whatever, whatever, and then you end up on the Celtics. Like, that's great. That's like a little video game fantasy life.
Oh, no, it's always great. When you did that, did you create yourself? Did you give yourself your, like, the actual height you have? Because I would always make myself at least, like, 6'8 or 6'9 just because I wanted to succeed.
Well, my height works in the NBA, so I'm
oh, big shot over here, tall guy.
Well, I'm 6'5, but I would make myself 6'5, but I would always try to be like a wing. Like, I always try to play the 2-3. So but yeah, I think my dimension, I'm 6'5, 230. I think that works in the NBA. I just have to make that fantasy basketball 2K thing actually catch up to the actual measurements.
There you go. All right, moving on in the junk drawer. This is a quick one. I'm going to miss the Mooch, man. He came in, he left. He was fun the while Mooch. He lasted. He was calling reporters. I'm going to miss the Mooch. I don't know if we want to get political, but the Mooch was hilarious to me.
I will refrain from getting political. I get enough shit for that on Twitter, but I will say that the Mooch, amongst all of the craziness that's going on in Washington, he was that one kind of benign craziness that you could at least sit there and say he's comic relief. It's kind of hilarious that he only lasted 10 days. The world needed more Mooch, and I'm sure we'll find more Mooch somewhere on TV.
I'm sure he's going to be – I hope he gets a reality show. I hope he does a tell-all book or something, because the Mooch needs more limelight. His 15 minutes
are
enough.
His life is a reality show.
Apparently. All right. Here are my final – these are my observations. I've spent 2 weeks in Boston, and by – I'm going to judge the entire city of Boston based on my train ride from – Medford. I walk to Davis Square. I take the red line to Charles MGH, and then I walk there to Back Bay. So I'm just, those are the people I see. So I don't want to, I want people to know that I'm generalizing, but this is something I've noticed about people in Boston. These people are still playing Pokemon Go. Everywhere I see, people are playing Pokemon Go. I did not see anyone in Philadelphia playing Pokemon Go, and it frankly, it made me a little bit ashamed as a Bostonian. And now, I'm a big Pokemon guy. I played a lot of like the video game on Game Boy. Like, don't get me wrong, I can nerd out about some Pokemon, but to still be playing Pokemon Go is so disheartening to see on the MBTA.
I will say that I did hear, and I'm not a Pokemon guy at all, like never, not once, but I did hear that there was some sort of update where super rare Pokemon were just released, and it kind of like got a bunch of people flooded back into the game. So there might have been an...
Yo, I saw that too. I don't fuck with Moltres, which is the super rare Pokemon. Not cool enough for me.
I don't know what you just said, but fine.
He's a legendary bird. He breathes fire. He's pretty badass, but I don't think it's not enough for me to pick up Pokemon Go and like carry it around on the subways, bumping into people.
Okay.
Another observation of people in Boston: everyone's wearing an Apple Watch. Not a thing that I saw a lot in Philadelphia. Everyone here is wearing an Apple Watch, and at least on the red line, everyone's talking about what app they're going to work for, or what like their new investment is. And I'm sure that's because majority of my rides between Harvard and MIT, and then other people who's going into Somerville. But my God, everyone's investing in an app or has a new app or is working on getting VC funding somewhere. It's wild.
You don't have a smartwatch?
I do not. I just got a Fitbit, but. That's just to make it sure I'm not super lazy now that I'm working at a desk job for 8 hours a day.
I have a smartwatch. I don't have an Apple Watch. I got an Android because I'm all Android. Google owns my life, but it's not bad. It's not great. It's not, I don't wear it all the time, but I have one. You can get one relatively cheap if you're into the Google side.
Do you talk on it like you're a Secret Service agent?
No,
that's like,
no, I got it.
I feel like you're missing out, man.
I got it because I wanted something to kind of like when I was running to kind of track my running accurately, but it didn't do exactly what I wanted to do. So I just kind of have it that now that I can kind of tuck my phone into my pocket. And then every once in a while, I'll just kind of, it just kind of basically alerts me. It's basically an alert bracelet that lets me know when I'm being tweeted or texted.
Well, it's not bad. All right, now I'm turning it over to the fans. I sent out the request for questions. Everyone, if you want, I feel like we're going to need to go back to the junk drawer because August is a real dead month for NBA stories. So if you want to get on Jam's junk drawer, use the hashtag RainInJunk, RainIn without a G, junk, and I'll do my best to answer your questions. They better be good, though. I'm not putting just any junk on the junk drawer. This is from Scott S. at Boston Sports Z. Does the junk drawer need a key? I need to know, also, who of the new Celtics will have the best quotes? Junk drawer does not need a key. It's a junk drawer. You need to be able to open it easily and just throw a bunch of crap in there. And as for the Celtics, I don't know. It's hard to gauge the kind of the personalities on this team. I feel like since Evan Turner left, there's no like go-to guy for funny quotes. The good thing about the Celtics is players like Isaiah Thomas and Jay Crowder, they're not as, like, in terms of athlete speak, they don't do it that much. If they're pissed off, they're going to come out and say it. So I would have to go with Isaiah Thomas. Maybe Jaylen Brown. I hear Jaylen Brown thinks highly of his own intellect. So hopefully he steps into his own and starts spouting some nonsense this year, because that would be fun.
Yeah, I think Isaiah is the way to go.
Yeah, just he's the most outspoken
guy. He just tells it like it is. He's the one guy that can speak his absolute mind and no one questions it.
And no one else really has a big personality. Maybe Marcus Morris will come in with some good quotes, but who knows? All right, the next one is from our man Searles at Searle Gerard. Three NBL teams are going over for the offseason. Would Boston or any other team come out for the preseason or regular season? So NBL is an Australian team, and no, I don't think the Celtics will go to Australia anytime soon for the preseason or the regular season. I just don't think it's going to happen. Australia is a ways away, and I don't know. Sorry to bust your bubble, Searles, but I don't think the Celtics are going to Australia.
Too far, too far. And I got this question, too. We got a question on the Rain and Jays hashtag, whether we thought that the Celtics going to an overseas trip would be beneficial like the 07-08 team. You know, 10 years ago today, the Celtics were preparing after the Kevin Garnett trade to go to Italy. And we said at the time, and teams have confirmed at the time, that since then, that that trip helped solidify a lot of that chemistry. But this team is a lot different because that was three alpha dogs, Pierce, Garnett, Ray Allen, needing to kind of come together and kind of figure their own shit out. Gordon Hayward, Isaiah Thomas, Al Horford, yeah, they need to figure some stuff out. But I think they need to figure out how to play together a little bit more. They need the practice time more than they need the gelling time. So I don't think the Celtics are interested at all in going anywhere overseas. Plus, the season starts earlier. They start in the middle of October versus the end of October. So they're not going to have enough time. You don't want to waste practice time on traveling from Italy or Greece to Spain to wherever. You just want to sit there in Waltham or Newport or wherever the hell they are going to end up going. But they want to sit here locally and get themselves together. So I think that's basically what's going to end up happening.
They are going to London in January, and great idea. We're going to start a GoFundMe account so me, you, and Jay can go watch the game in London.
I'm in.
All right, Rain and Jay fans, time to pony up to send your boys to London for the – we'll podcast the entire thing. GoFundMe. We'll figure it out.
We'll set something up at some point.
All right, Matthew Marino asks, who would win a free-for-all fight amongst the current Celtics players – and who would be the first man out? That's a tough question.
Like Marcus Smart's going to win.
Marcus right? Smart was my first pick, but you got to think there's some players with some size. Like, I don't know. I crapped on Ante Zizic during all of Summer League. And his play would not indicate to me that he's a skilled fighter, but he is a large, strong Croatian man. I wouldn't mess with him. Zizic is a... I wouldn't mess with Yabu either. I was saying before, that dude's a thick dude. I would not. It'd be a very good match. Marcus Morris is not someone I'd flex with, nor Jay Crowder. I don't know if I can answer this question. Who do you think would be the first man out, though?
First man out would probably be...
it's got to be Isaiah. He's so small.
Yeah, no, but he would just kind of lay low. Low center of gravity.
It might be Al Horford, because I don't feel like Al Horford's a fighter. I think you want to protect his beautiful face.
Maybe. Or Gordon Hayward. Like, I don't see Gordon Hayward being much of a fighter. Like, I just don't think he'd just be like, he would probably just eliminate himself so he can go play video games.
Like, what if he could control a fighter using a joystick? Then he'd be pretty
good. Oh, that's what he would love to do. Like, one of those, like, kind of mind control things, like Stewie. Put on what's his name in Family Guy? Just put like little, whatever. I've lost the joke there. But anyway, Gordon Hayward, who could control like Marcus Smart would be awesome. Basically, anybody Gordon Hayward could control would win because Gordon Hayward isn't like an elite gamer. So, but look, any sort of fight. I know there are tough guys on there. Marcus Morris is a tough guy. Jay Crowder, obviously a tough guy. A lot of these guys are big, tough bastards. Shemmy, Aaron Baines. Aaron Baines exists in this whole thing. He's a big, tough mountain man. But I think I can't look at Marcus Smart. Just look at the shit that Marcus Smart does. How crazy he is. That dude will do anything to win in that situation. I'm not bidding against Marcus Smart at all.
You don't want to go up against the craziest guy in a fight, and clearly Marcus Smart's the craziest
Absolutely.
Guy.
Absolutely. That's it.
I'm hoping Marcus Morris is the same level of crazy. Because you need a good kind of crazy goon on your team. It's just good for morale.
Sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
All right. Speaking of kind of toughness and crazy guys, if Brad, this is from Bay Crowder 99, great handle.
Nice name.
If Brad starts a Smart, Shemi, Morris, Yabu, Baines lineup, will teams forfeit out of fear?
Smart, Shemi. Say it again.
Morris, Yabu, and Baines.
Smart, Shemi, Morris, Yabu, and Baines. That's a lot of combat muscle. It's a lot of combat muscle.
Hashtag, how much combat muscle is too much combat muscle? And my initial reaction to that would be like, no, that'd be a terrible basketball lineup. None of those guys can shoot. And I realized I wasn't answering the question in the spirit of the question. So, yeah, fuck yeah. Seems to be fearful of that lineup.
They would all. It's not about shooting. It's about the making the other team shit their pants and run off the court in fear and then forfeit the game.
If the competition was memeable photos, I really think that roster would be dope.
I want to see that just once in the preseason for 5 minutes. Just throw it out there. You know, look, it's in all seriousness, Marcus Smart can point guard. Shemi can shoot. Morris can shoot. Baines can bang down low. And then you've got...
Don't talk yourself into this lineup. That lineup would be trash.
No. Yabu's out. Like, I'm buying it. Totally into that. You could spread the floor with that lineup a little bit.
That lineup will get under 5 minutes in the entire season next
That's
year.
That's true. I'm just trying to convince somebody. I want it to have some sort of, like, convincing argument that maybe somebody in the Celtics... front office somewhere might have been listening to this and say, hey, wait a minute, he's got a point. Just give me 5 minutes. I just want to convince somebody to be like, huh, well, let's give it a shot. And then just see. Just to see.
If anyone with influence in the Celtics front office is listening to our podcast for ideas on lineups during the offseason, then I would be ashamed of the Celtics.
Oh, man, you're crushing my dreams.
You're hurting my feelings. It shouldn't happen. I mean, they should listen to us for our takes on everything else, but of lineups of fearful guys in the summer, I wouldn't go for it. All right. Continuing with the hashtag raining junk. Why is there still so much IT slander from media and fans?
Ugh.
My initial reaction to this was, you're on basketball Twitter, and people, there's going to be slander no matter where you turn. It feels like that's what any team's fan base is this gonna, some portion of the fan base is not gonna like one player or and just shit on them. And we see that with the Jay Crowder slander. We see that people just like not appreciating Isaiah. And I think it's kind of what we do. If you count slander as me like saying earlier that I don't think he's gonna get a max contract, then
no, that's not it.
That's not slander. There's people saying he doesn't deserve a max contract. I would say, seeing the people who got max contracts recently and his output last season or in the past 2 years, of course he deserves one. But whether or not the market dictates it is there's like different contexts. He would have gotten that deal, a max contract, last season or last off season or the season before it. But the context of the cap matters. I don't know. Do you have any reason for why there's so much slander on the timeline?
Because he's 5'9". And that is it. He's 5'9", and he's just never going to get the credit that he deserves. That's it. So whatever you can, he had a second team All-NBA season, a deserved second team All-NBA season. He got fifth in the MVP voting, which he deserved. But people will sit there and be like, nope, he didn't deserve either of those things. And they'll just, there's just hatred, because if he was 6'5" and he did that stuff, I guarantee you there wouldn't be the slander, but it's there. It was there today. It was there yesterday. It's been there previous weeks, all month long, since the finals. It's been there forever, and it's going to continue to be there because Isaiah Thomas is tiny, and people just refuse to accept the fact that he can do what he does. But He does. He deserved those accolades this offseason. He deserves to get paid a lot of money, and he deserves to be on this team and one of the leaders on this team moving forward. I believe that Isaiah Thomas can do it. He has proven me wrong time and time again. When he first came over, I had my doubts, and I was sitting there just like Jay, we talked about the other day. I was sitting there arguing why he should come off the bench, and this dude just kept coming out and had one of the most amazing years in Celtics history last season. I mean, like, that's not just hyperbole. That's not recency bias. He had his whole King in the Fourth thing. He had one of the best offensive seasons in Celtics history. I know what he is. I know how small he is. I know how little defense he plays. But screw you, people, for going out there and saying defense, 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 and then trying to tell me that Damian Lillard and Kyrie Irving are better than he is. Screw that bullshit. That's bullshit. People only want to throw defense at you when they're trying to make a point. They don't care about defense when those other guys are scoring tons of points.
I would agree with you until you said people only want to bring up defense when they want to make a point. I mean, I don't know if that was your best argument, John. I think defense is important, but I understand the general tone of what you were going for.
Like, they just sit there. Like, they only bring up the defense when they're trying to, like, shut Isaiah down. There are plenty of players out there who don't play defense. Like, I get it. I understand that defense is important, but
he's also an elite scorer. He's, like, one of the top five best scorers in the league.
The whole thing with Isaiah is he a positive impact? Is he a positive player on the floor? Is he a plus player on the floor? Yes, he is. He's a plus player. When he's on the floor, they generally do better. And someone tried to bring up the playoffs that he was a negative. And okay, the plus minus as a negative in the playoffs with a busted hip, and he was out there with some weird Washington Wizards runs. And like, that's just, sometimes it doesn't tell you everything, but over the course of an entire season, that his impact on the floor was a net positive. They won a ton of games when he was out there, and because he was out there, and he bailed them out. So, like, he's not the best point guard in the NBA. I know that, but he's better than most point guards in the NBA. And so, I don't know. It bugs me. It just bugs me.
The thing it comes down to me is that, do you respect Brad Stevens as, like, a smart basketball mind? Yes. Does Brad Stevens play Isaiah Thomas a lot of minutes during the regular season and during crunch time of the fourth quarter of postseason games? He does! If you believe those two facts, those two premises, then your conclusion should be Isaiah Thomas is a good basketball player and a positive contributor. Like, there's just nothing else. Like, he wouldn't be, like, able to kind of play all this time in the NBA if he wasn't doing incredibly successful. So enough Isaiah slander on the timeline. All right, final reigning junk of the night from at Director of Cucks, which is another hilarious handle. How do you make your voice sound like a 70-year-old man? I was initially confused by this, but then he responded, sorry, this is really a question for Jay King. Forget I asked. I'll
Jay King
for him.
With the old man voice. Which is hilarious to me, because I never thought he had old man voice, but apparently he does.
I gotta approach it. This is the first time I've heard it tonight, but I gotta approach it with some fresh ears and really kind of listen for the old man voice. But hopefully he's getting crunked tonight. Maybe we should go do a late night call in with Jay King and see how the copious amounts of alcohol he's drinking.
I know.
Will affect his old man
we
voice.
We should call him real quick and just tack it on to the end of the podcast, just to get old man drunk voice. Which I hope to have a lot in my old age.
Oh yeah. At that point, if you're super old, I feel like you just have permission to just start yelling at people on the street. What are they going to do?
Dude,
and if you got a good voice, more power to you.
Once you hit 80, it's just you get to do whatever you want. It doesn't matter.
I'm going
to
start shoplifting, man.
Of course. Whatever.
Sure, why not?
I'm old. I'm confused. Where am I? It's like that Seinfeld episode. Like, "Oh, I'm disoriented. What do you mean there are batteries in my pocket?" I don't know. Like, just once you hit 80, it doesn't matter. Like, I sit here and I run and I exercise to tack on years to my life, but those are all back end years. That's not, I didn't get to be 35 for 5 years in a row. I'm still 44 right now. Like, the time keeps on marching. So I'm going to end up being, what, 95 to 105 If I get it to be 95, forget it. I'm doing everything crazy. What's it going to do, kill me?
I think the great Danny DeVito said, "When you in Always Sunny, is when I die, you can just throw me in the trash." And when I wanted to amend that to, when I turn 80, you can just throw me in the trash. Like, I don't want to do anything more. I'm done.
Look, once I get to that point, it doesn't matter. Like, if I'm sitting there walking around with a cane, I can barely move around, then whatever. I'm just going to do all kinds of stupid shit. And if it kills me, it kills me. Because at that point, something's going to kill. A stiff breeze at that point is going to get you. So might as well just go out on top.
There you go.
Hey, that was a fun way to end the podcast.
I think so. I think the summer junk is here to stay.
Summer junk. Use the hashtag jams junk.
Raining junk. Raining junk.
Raining junk. Raining junk. There you go.
Although if you want to use jams drunk too, I'll find it.
Jams drunk. Now, raining junk. Raining junk. Without the G, rain and junk instead of rain and J's. So the rain and J's will be serious basketball questions. Rain and junk will be for jams, kind of existential, esoteric type stuff.
Absolutely. That's what I bring to the podcast. I bring that esoteric edge.
You should rate that esoteric edge 5 stars because Sam Jam Packard will be providing that throughout the regular season and the off season. Go to wherever you get your podcasts, Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify. We're on that too. Everywhere you get your podcasts, find us, subscribe, rate us 5 stars, leave a good review. I hope you enjoy our podcast. Make sure you check out the rest of the Locked On Podcast Network. Go to our Audio Boom page. Find the Locked On Celtics podcast, Rain and Jays, on Audio Boom. And you can find the NBA page and just subscribe to all of the Locked On NBA sites because they all do great stuff. And you'll want to keep tabs on what other teams are doing throughout the offseason and the regular season. Okay, that'll do it. 2 shows this week. We're just going to kind of scale it back. Jay's on vacation. I'm just coming off vacation, so 2 shows is enough for me. We'll be back next week. Thanks for listening. This has been the Locked On Celtics Podcast. We're part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Yeah, J. King and John Corrales. Locked On Celtics. Millies.
Hi, you've reached the High Fashion Hotline.
Hi, my family's going to a tailgate and I want our style to stand out from the crowd.
Just go to Old Navy.
Old Navy?
Yep, Old Navy's got all the latest fall styles. Plus, during Old Navy's colossal sale, you'll save up to 50% off store-wide.
Did you say up to 50% off?
I did, so don't sit on the sidelines. Old Navy has the perfect pants from $19, stylish dresses from $15, and comfy tees for the family from just $6 right now at Old Navy and oldnavy.com.
We're cheering for Old Navy.
High Fashion, Old Navy. Valid 10-2 to 10-10, select styles only.